Good morning and happy Easter. Easter is such a... Sit down. We ain't got time for that. Just kidding. Easter's a crazy holiday. Like, it's crazy in lots of ways. It's crazy that I'm wearing a suit today. This is the one week in a year I give up the argument to my wife. Let me just answer all your questions now. No, I'll not wear it again. Like, this is it. This is the one time this year. Easter is special. Easter is really cool. And this is what I do for Easter. And now I'm sweating already. Easter is crazy on lots of levels if you think about it. Like, how many of us know why Easter falls on the Sunday that it does? Four of you. Perfect. I'll explain. Easter is celebrated on the first Sunday after the first full moon that occurs on or after the first day of spring in the Northern Hemisphere. Because apparently the third Sunday in April was just too simple. So we complicate it. We complicate so many things in our faith. We complicate so many things in our world. Easter's a little bit confusing because sometimes we refer to Easter as a celebration of death. If you've ever been to a funeral before, we don't like to say things like that. We like to celebrate life. But Easter's a celebration of death. It's part of the story of Easter. In fact, the whole week leading up to Easter Sunday is a powerful week. But things really get intense on Friday. We call Friday Good Friday, but why would we call it good if there's a death involved, right? It's so confusing. But Good Friday is more than just a day that you get off for most businesses. Good Friday is the day that we recognize the fulfillment of this incredible event that Jesus sacrificed his life, a trade, an exchange, his life for your life and mine. Jesus took on the penalty that we deserve for the sin that we committed. I don't know about you, but if you're here today, there's a really good chance you've lived long enough that you've sinned. Probably even just today in getting ready to come to church. We're sinners. Romans chapter 6 tells us that there's a cost to our sin. Romans 6 and verse 23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." You get serious so quick. That one sin compromises our integrity with a perfect God. And the payment due for our sin is death. The payment that we owe is a life for a life. But Jesus came to the rescue. Jesus stepped in and said, "I'd like to pay their bill." Specifically for you and for I'd like to pay his bill. I'd like to pay her bill. Jesus stepped in and said, "I'd like to pay it in full." If we continue reading, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord." Jesus stepped in to make the full payment for each one of us. But as you and I both know, just because we offer someone as a gift doesn't mean that we have an obligation to receive it. I have so many conversations as a pastor with people that really struggle with some doubts. And one of the most profound doubts is always, if God is good, and then they fill in the blank with some pretty horrific event. The common question is, if God is good, how could a good God send someone to hell? That's a completely inaccurate perspective. The question really is totally different. If God is good, and he is, how good is he? Then he sent his only and perfect son to die in our place. That he was arrested, convicted, tortured, and executed, that we wouldn't have to be. That's how good our good God is. It wasn't that God chose to send someone to hell. It's that people have decided, they've chosen on their own, that I'll like to take care of my own bill. That I think I can live a good enough life, I can pay my own way. That if I was to bring up the scales of my life, I think I can do good enough on my own that I don't need a savior. It's not that God chooses to send people to hell. It's that we choose not to receive his free gift of salvation. Jesus, his death, paid our bill in full. I got to thinking this week about how confusing Easter is to so many people. But not just it's the first Sunday after the first full moon that occurs on or after the vernal equinox, but that we recognize and we celebrate Easter on Sunday, but most people better relate to what happens on Friday because we don't really understand what happened on Sunday, or we don't understand the vastness of what happened on Sunday. But the most recognized imagery of a Christian is the cross. Friday, Jesus was nailed to the cross. It had to happen. It had to take place. The payment had to be made, a life in exchange for a life. Jesus was the only sacrifice worthy of that kind of transaction. But if Easter was just about the cross, why do we celebrate or even talk about a resurrection? Jesus was crucified on Friday, but Sunday, the stone that covered the tomb that Jesus and his dead body was buried in was rolled away. And Jesus walked out of the grave. It's one thing to make claims. It's one thing to say, "I think I can make this happen." But Jesus was to promise and predict, "This is what I've come to do." He's promised and predict, "This is how it will happen. This is how I will die and be resurrected." And then he pulled it off. Of all the belief systems on planet Earth, there's never been a promise where someone would say, this is how I will die, this is how long I'll be dead for, and then you can see me later when I come back to life. Our God did that. Our God pulled that off, and it wasn't like it stretched his power to the limit. That's the fullness of the power of God that's available to each one of us. Jesus dying to prove the validity of his humanity and being resurrected to prove the validity of his divinity. Fully God and fully man who came to give his life for us. But the resurrection of Jesus wasn't just the evidence that he conquered death, but that he conquered death for himself and for us. Jesus conquered death for me, for you. See, Easter is not just a celebration of a culmination of the historic events of the life of Jesus while he walked on planet Earth. The reason we continue to celebrate the fullness of Easter every single year and every single day is because that power, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, still exists to give you and I a brand new life as well. Friday was necessary. Friday was required. Jesus was the life that was demanded to fulfill the requirements of God's law. And if you choose to put your faith in our Savior, he's already paid your debt in full. He's already made a way that we could be in right standing with the God of the universe, the God that our sins separated us from. You have a clear path to heaven. Jesus made the bridge, and you have full access to the fullness of God right here for every day moving forward. But most people only relate to Friday. Jesus died for my sins. Jesus was the perfect Lamb of God, sinless, spotless, blameless sacrifice who gave his life for mine, all powerful, all true, all great, not the end of the story. My sin separated me from the God of the universe, the God who created all things. Your sin separates you from the God of the universe, the God who created all things. Our sin separates us both now and eternally from God. And if you haven't received this incredible free gift of grace provided through the life of Jesus, my prayer for the last months for you has been that Easter, when you would come here to hear this message, you would hear this invitation, the Holy Spirit would stir something inside of you that you would know, I have a way out, that I can have salvation, that I can receive the saving grace that God has offered for free, that Jesus came 2,000 years ago and made a way for you and I in our imperfections to know the God of the universe personally. There's so much more to Easter than just Good Friday. Today, around the world, millions and millions of people celebrating Easter Sunday, but so many of them have never experienced Easter Sunday. Friday had to happen so that we could know Jesus, but that wasn't the end of the journey. I love the way the Apostle Paul explains it. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised him from the dead. Knowing Christ changes everything. Knowing Christ changes our eternal address. Knowing Christ, it opens up the door for us to fully walk in the eternal plan that the God of the universe created for you specifically on this planet. There is nothing greater than knowing Christ, but it's not the end of the Easter story. Jesus defeated death. He overcame the grave. He walked out of the tomb so that we could experience the power, the resurrection power that brought Jesus back from the dead. I got to thinking about this the other day, how we can know something, but when we experience it, it really changes it. Katie and I, we have four kids, and if you were here a few weeks ago, we talked about in between our four kids, we had several miscarriages, several times where just things didn't work out the way we planned. And I say that to say this, for the 24 years that Katie and I have been married, she's been pregnant a whole bunch. Now, fortunately for me, and I think fortunately for her, Katie never really had like those crazy hormonal things. Like I'm looking around the room, we got lots of pregnant ladies here today, so I probably ought to be kind. Katie never experienced like that crazy, like 2 o'clock in the morning, hey, go buy me some pickles. Like, I don't know what some of you, like that crazy stuff. But for us, finding out she was pregnant at the at-home pregnancy test wasn't always like a big, like, aha, life-changing moment. I mean, it could have been because of the miscarriages. It could have been because of the false positives or false negatives sometimes. It could have been because we were so confused and we were young and not really sure how to read the tests. Like, there was some excitement, but the excitement was usually more like, hey, why are you yelling from the bathroom? You out of toilet paper again? Can you tell me how to read the test? What test? You're taking a driver's test? Like, I don't know what test you're taking. One line or two, plus or minus. Babe, you're going to have to use words that I understand. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm taking a pregnancy. Okay, what are you looking for? Is it a plus sign, minus sign, one line or two lines? Where would I find the box? In the garbage. Perfect, okay. Rummage through. It says, and before I could answer, it's two lines. I don't know what that means. That was a false excitement. I don't know. When we found out we were pregnant through the at-home pregnancy test, it was different, but it was never really that exciting. Like, it was never really that thrill that we had always thought about and hoped for. It was kind of different. In fact, probably the most like emotional part to that was when you'd get to church or you'd get to your community, and we had some seasoned ladies in our community who would always know right away, and they'd walk right up to Katie and be like, "Sweetheart, you're glowing." And Katie'd be like, "I'm just sweating, leave me alone, lady." But I tell you what was different. When we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, there are some people that have this an incredible, miraculous encounter the moment they put their faith and trust in Jesus. But for some people, I know I'm saved, I prayed the prayer, I received the gift, my ticket is punched, I'm on my way to heaven. I know Jesus and I know what he's done for me, but I haven't experienced the resurrecting power yet. I haven't experienced the gift that Jesus has given. For us, especially for me, what really changed in this journey of pregnancy was when we went in for that first doctor visit where they rolled out the ultrasound. And then Katie would say they put that Sub-Zero jelly on your belly and then start to smear it around with that wand. And it was all funny and jokes until all of a sudden you heard, there is a big difference between lines on a stick and everything changed at that moment. When we heard the heartbeat, it became real. We experienced there was a new life inside of us. And for Katie, everything changed. Once we knew, once we experienced, once we heard, once we knew that we knew that we knew. Moms, if you've been pregnant, you know, like, it changes how you think. It changes what you're able to remember. I won't go any farther. It changes how you walk. It changes how you talk. It changes how you sit down. Nope, not going there. It changes what you eat. It changes when you eat. It changes how you eat. It changes what you drink. It changes how you think about the future. For my wife, for moms in the room, you know, it changed your name. Katie went from wife to mama, and then mommy, and then mom. And with two teenagers and a 12-year-old now, she would tell you she gets a lot of bruh. Once you know that you know that you know, once you've experienced the new life that has started inside of you, it changes everything. Jesus gave his life to change our eternal destination. Jesus made a way that we could get to heaven, but he also gave his life and the power that we could experience heaven inside of us. The power of the resurrection starts a brand new life inside of us. The mistake that so many Christians make is we see Jesus as a good teacher, so we try to be good students. Or we see Jesus as a good person, so we strive to do better. Or we see Jesus as a selfless leader, so we try so hard to remain humble. Can I just offer, those aren't the goals. Those are really just great side effects. Because Jesus didn't come to make us a better version. He came to make us a brand new creation. That we would be dead to our old sinful self and come to life, a new creation in Christ Jesus. Jesus didn't come to improve our life, but to give us a brand new life. The old me, the dead me, the far from me, the BC me before Christ, I was dead to my sins. I continued to miss the mark. I was given to my cravings and my emotions because I lived a life that was all about me, and my sin had separated me from the goodness of God. But I love the way Paul explains it. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 15, he says this, "He, Jesus, died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. My life is not about me. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them." So we've stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. Good teacher, humble leader, good person. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. Jesus sacrificed his life and made the gift available for everyone, but not everyone chooses to receive the gift. But if you do, it changes everything. Christ died and was raised from the dead for you. How different we know the resurrected Christ, not just a good guy, not just a good preacher, teacher, but a resurrected Savior, fully God and fully man, who came to give his life that I might know God for now and all of eternity. Anyone who belongs to Christ is a new person, a brand new creation. The sinful me is gone. My hurts, my habits, my hangups no longer have power over me. A new life has begun on the inside of me. And it might not feel like it at that first moment, but when I know that I know that I know, when I've experienced the power of a living God on the inside of me, it changes everything. He gives us a brand new name, a son or a daughter, to the King of Kings, to the Lord of Lords, to the God who created the universe. I love the imagery that the scripture spells out to us and the model that Jesus sets before us. Right before Paul gives us that truth that we read in Romans chapter 6, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. If we back up to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, he says this. He says, "For we died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead by his glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. Since we've been united with him in death, we will also be raised to life as he was." Baptism is a powerful experience. Baptism is a powerful practice. It's the act of going down into a watery tank and being dunked or buried down in the watery grave for the old me to be shed, for the old me to be left in the grave and resurrected like Christ, pulled up out of the water with all of the sin, all of the selfishness, all of the life about me and self-righteousness left behind in the grave, raised into new life with Christ Jesus. The old me is to be left and gone, but the new me, a brand new creation. Baptism is an outward demonstration of an internal confession and a spiritual transformation, death to life. It's the symbol of a new beginning. As the earth continues to rotate on its axis, the sun very soon this evening will set. And as the sun set, it represents the end of a day. But the good news is tomorrow morning when the sun breaks the horizon and rises again, it creates a brand new day. It symbolizes a brand new day, moving from darkness to life. A brand new day that begins changes everything. But baptism, this act of getting in this watery grave, this imagery of being raised up into a brand new life, a life fully alive in Christ Jesus through what he has done, through his works, through his grace, through his love, all imparted into me because of his gift. When I'm raised out of the water, it's not only a brand new day, it's a brand new beginning. My faith and trust in Jesus, it's a brand new start. My receiving the gift of God is a brand new life. Jesus defeated death so that I can be brand new, fully alive in Christ. And when you receive this gift, whether you know it, whether you've experienced it, whether you're just learning it, it changes everything. Just like it did for our friend Chase. Let's see what he has to say.
My name is Chase Wilson, and before I was depressed, lonely, and angry, and now I'm joyful, accepted, loved, and brand new. My mom had me when she was very young, and I was raised by my great-grandparents. My dad was never really in the picture, and yeah, it really wasn't until I was older that I realized that things were different in my life. I didn't really go to church growing up, it was just more holidays, and it wasn't until about high school I started attending church, but not really being in, like, involved in church. I was just kind of at church, and then it really just kind of went because I had to. I feel like my family early on put sports kind of in that position. My family was always involved with basketball, specifically. It was talked about, but not talked about enough. Like, it was like, you know, Jesus is watching you, Jesus loves you, but it was never like, okay, who is that? Like, who is Jesus? Who, like, I was always just like, okay, there's a guy up there that's looking over me, but I never knew, like, who he truly was. And it wasn't on the great side of town. I also started getting to the age where I can kind of just go do things when I wanted. And I got introduced to weed and smoking at a very young age. And it was at a very, probably one of the first true low point of my life mentally. I started turning to that rather than turning to things that were truly good for me. But that's really all I kind of knew at that time. It was really just an escape and a blanket to cover and mask, like, the loneliness that I had. So I was 18. I just had a knee reconstructive surgery from a basketball injury. I got prescribed different painkillers for my surgery and operation. Started off using those as I should, just taking them when I needed them. It quickly turned into more of an addiction without me realizing it. Without them, I felt angry, sad, lonely. And it kind of took away the sadness and emptiness I felt. And I had always gone to Christmas Eve, but for some reason I was very adamant I wasn't going to Christmas Eve of 2023. My mom and stepdad showed up at my door, forced me to get ready, dragged me out the door for the night service. And when I went, that was the first time I had... And during Luke's sermon, it was the first time I truly felt, this is the first time I truly felt the touch of Jesus. And I quickly realized that what I was chasing was happiness, and that I was never going to truly catch happiness. And instead, what I needed was the joy of the Lord and peace. And I was just hunting for peace. Following the service, I started meeting with Luke, and I started cutting down on the smoking, and I started really diving into learning who Christ was. And it was a steady battle. A lot of slip-ups, a lot of me getting very angry with myself because of those things. The night before, I had smoked again. I smoked more than I should have. I ended up coming into service on Sunday, and I still was high at service. I really can't even remember what the true sermon was about that Sunday, just because the whole time I felt wrong and conviction was flowing. And towards the end of service, they had a second section of worship. And in that time, it just kind of clicked with me that, like, I'm never going to be perfect. I'm going to have my mistakes. That doesn't mean I can keep doing the things I'm doing and just getting away with it. But God does have grace. And during worship, I was called by the Lord to just fully give my life to Him. For me, new means to have a strive and hunger to be more like Christ, to be loving, to be forgiving. Because I felt like the old me was the opposite of those things. I had a lot of anger. I was very judgmental of others. And I just didn't want to be that anymore. You should choose to brand new, because the past doesn't define who you truly are. Your past mistakes doesn't make who you are today. For me, it's more of a desire for a long-term growth instead of a long-term betterment rather than a short-term feeling. I no longer have the desire to get high or to do pills. Instead, I have the desire to turn to those around me in those hard times. My name is Chase Wilson, and before, I was depressed, lonely, and angry. And now I'm joyful, accepted, loved, and brand new.
Our God wants the same for each of us. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 19, Paul writes, he says, I also pray, it should be a prayer for every believer, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for those who believe him. This is the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Church, make no mistake, when Jesus came back to life, it didn't automatically reduce the power of the Holy Spirit available for the rest of us. It didn't diminish anything when Jesus walked out of the tomb. The same power, the fullness of the goodness of God who raised Christ from the dead, Jesus makes available to each of us, which means that same power is available for your marriage. And that same power is available for your emotions. And that same power is available for your redemptive story and your restoration and your divine encounters and your healing. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is available to give you brand new life. Jesus didn't give his life to make us better. He sacrificed it all to make us brand new. Chase walked us through part of his journey of living this life and following after Jesus in this brand new creation. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. The Bible is full of instruction and example of how and what it looks like to live a brand new life. Quickly today, I'm going to look at three specific ideas for us. To me, be made new, to be brand new means this. One, I'm forgiven from my past. Our sin, a singular sin, is a toxic condition that disqualifies us from the presence of an eternal God. But Jesus, through his blood that was shed on the cross, washed away our sin. And by choosing to receive that gift, we're choosing to, God's choosing to remember our sin no more. Ephesians 1 and 7, Paul explains it like this. He, God, so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son, and in doing so, forgave our sins. The beauty of this imagery of baptism is that when we go down into the tank, just like getting in a shower to wash the dirt off our outside, the blood of Jesus washes the filth off of our spirit, off of our heart, raising us out to become a brand new creation, purified through Christ Jesus, now alive in him. Number two, brand new means that I am healed from my hurts. Peter, one of the closest followers of Jesus, one of the original 12, no one knew Jesus better than Peter while he walked planet Earth. Peter got to see Jesus arrested, see him tortured, and see him crucified. The stories of Peter's denial, of Peter's fleeing, his lack of faith because he watched his Messiah die, would all change when just a few short days later, Peter looked the Messiah resurrected in the eye, exchanged words with him. From that moment on, when Peter had experienced the power of the resurrection, you couldn't shut him up. You couldn't stop him from talking. You couldn't keep him from spreading the word of Christ, being argued and being threatened to be thrown into prison or even murdered himself. Peter said, I don't care, you can't stop me. Leading ultimately to his own demise, Peter, full of boldness because he experienced the resurrection of power of Christ Jesus. He writes this, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24. He, Jesus, personally carried our sins in his body on the cross so that we would be dead to sin and live for what is right. And then he so beautifully quotes the prophet Isaiah, by his wounds you are healed. Jesus was arrested, he was convicted, he was sentenced, he was beaten, and he was tortured. And his scars represent our healing. That he already paid the price, he suffered for us on our behalf. That even though we were dead to our sin, we are now alive in Christ and healed from the hurts of our past. This Greek word that Peter were to use for the word healed comes from the word yame, which means to be healed or to be cured. To be cured of the toxic condition of sin. Or to be made whole. To be made whole from what's been taken from us or removed from us. To be restored to the perfect right relationship with the God of all things. This healing, for some people, it takes place instantaneously. But more often than not, this healing is a journey that God enjoys walking with us on. God's not a God who always gives us things right when we need them. He gives them to him as we need them. In the best possible way do we experience the fullness of his healing. The resurrecting power of Christ has already provided everything you need to begin your journey of healing. Brand new means I'm freed from my hangups. Those things we continue to stumble over. Those things where we say, I won't do this again. My temptations, my cravings, my desires, all the things that long to pull me away from God. Brand new means those things no longer have power over me. Brand new means the same power that brought Jesus back to life gives me power to turn from my hangups. In the Bible, we call that word repent. So often in our culture, we use the word repent as an apology. Repentance is so much greater than just an I'm sorry. Repentance means to change my mind or to turn and go from. That as I pursued my cravings, as I pursued my selfishness, as I pursued my sin, I repent and turn from to pursue Jesus. I can't both be pursuing sin and Christ. I turn from changing my mind through the power of the Holy Spirit to pursue after Jesus. I love the way John, one of the other close followers of Jesus, explains it. John chapter 8 and verse 31. Speaking to people that believe, speaking for Jesus, he says, Jesus said to the people who believed in him, you are truly my disciples if you remain faithful to my teachings. And in doing so, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The simple truth, I'm imperfect. I've sinned and I've separated myself from God in my sin. But Jesus made a way. The truth, Jesus gave his life as a gift, as an exchange for mine. The truth, God made a way, a sacrifice to restore us back to him. The truth, God loved you so much that he offered his one, only, and perfect son on our behalf to pay the price, the debt that we owed. Because the truth is so much more than just a statement. The truth is a person, and his name is Jesus. Jesus gave his life to bring you not just back to life, but to give you new life. Easter is not just a celebration of a culmination of the historic events that led up to this moment where Jesus stepped out of the tomb. Easter is a personalized invitation from the God of the universe who breathed the stars into existence for each person to hear and to know you can be restored. You can be healed. You can be forgiven. Jesus came to make you brand new. So let me just offer this as we close. I want to invite you to consider this. Consider maybe one or two of these thoughts here today. If you came today and maybe like our friend Chase, you don't know really why you're here or even how you got here. But maybe you're here and you're wrestling with this idea. Is there really a greater force out there? Is there some greater thing out there? Maybe you're here and you've talked about Jesus or heard about Jesus, but you've never taken him serious enough to really encounter him. Can I just offer this? That God brought you here on purpose? That it's not by accident that your mom or your grandma or your girlfriend drug you in? That God knew as part of his epic plan to weave in, to bring you at just the right moment where he might capture your attention, that you might receive his salvation? That God so perfectly wove all these things together that you might hear this invitation? Would you consider, would you receive Jesus as your personal Savior? All of us have sinned and fall short, very short of God's glorious standard. And the wages of my sin is death, and the wages of your sin is death. Usually we think of gift giving as the Christmas season, but can I just offer that Easter is the greatest gift of all time? That Jesus made a way. Romans 6:23, the free gift, God's grace is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Would you consider putting your faith and trust in Jesus fully today? Maybe you've already done that. Maybe for you, this is a next step for you. Would you consider the next step of baptism? Would you consider taking the physical step that represents a spiritual brand new start alive in Christ Jesus? An external representation of an internal transformation through the powerful work of the Holy Spirit in us. A spiritual metamorphosis from a caterpillar to a butterfly. The act of baptism is us, the sinful me, dying and being left in the grave, being raised up out of the water, a brand new, beautiful, transformed creation. In right standing with the God of the universe. Not because of anything that we have done, but because Jesus did it all for us. The old me left behind in the grave. The old me that sin had power over. The old me who was dead and on course for death in my sin walks out of the watery grave. Lifted up out of the tomb. Representing the brand new life, the brand new beginning, and a brand new creation. All made possible by the power of Christ. Would you consider taking the step of baptism today? If you're here today and you're already having that conversation in your head, Pastor, I'm not prepared for this. I got all fancied up for Easter. Listen, you can get baptized in what you're wearing, but we also got your back. We got shorts, we got t-shirts, we got towels, we got everything that you need to be baptized today because we believe it's a powerful step to go public in our faith to say today is the day. For we were died and we were buried with Christ by baptism. And just as Christ was raised from the dead for the glorious power of the Father, now we also live new lives. The third, would you consider? Would you consider what it really looks like to live in his power? Friday changed everything, but Friday wasn't the whole story. Friday, if you understand, was so powerful, it was pivotal, it was the moment, but it wasn't the end of your story. Would you consider what it looks like to live your life in the victory of a risen Savior? That through the power made available to each of us as followers and believers of Christ, would you consider not just celebrating the great acts that Jesus did, but the new life, the brand new life that Jesus provides? Paul said it. We read it. I also pray that we will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for all who believe in him. It's the same power, not a fraction of, not a reduced version of, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Jesus didn't come to make bad people good. He came to make dead people alive. Today is the day. Today is the day that you can become brand new. Let's be a people that live it out. Would you bow your heads right where you are and let's pray together. God, on this Easter Sunday, we are so grateful. So grateful for this amazing gift that you offered. That we might know your saving grace personally. God, this wasn't just a blanket invitation that we could figure it out on our own. That you sent Jesus to me and to each person under the sound of my voice. That we would know you personally. That the wall that we built between ourselves and you was destroyed, knocked down, and a bridge was built between us and God through the life of Jesus Christ. But our story doesn't end there. Let us be a people that walk in this power, that walk in this victory, that walk in this healing. And if you've never prayed that prayer before, I'm going to pause right here and pray this. You can make this your prayer. You can say it right where you sit. Jesus, I receive you as my Savior. God, I thank you for this gift. And let it ever change my life. God, I'm surrendering to you, turning from my way to chase after Jesus. We thank you for that. Thank you for all you've done for us, Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.